Hello, it's Doug Brown here for Unusual Sources on CFMU 93.3 FM radio at McMaster University. Well, we got snowed out last week, second time this winter, but we're back on air, and we have two really interesting interviews coming up. Later on in the show, Brendan is going to be talking to Phil Taylor about the situation in Ukraine. But we're going to open the show with, the issue of academic freedom and tied into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And very recently in Chicago at Columbia College, a course was canceled because of one student's complaint of bias. So I have on the line with me the professor involved in that, Professor Ayman Shahadi. Ayman, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay, great. So Ayman, maybe you can explain first of all what the course was about. And then the situation that developed that led to the university basically canceling part of your program.
Well, sure. So I've been teaching at Columbia College for almost 7 years. It'll be 7 years in August, and I've taught in the first couple of years. I taught primarily Middle Eastern history classes. I designed a course called the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, and I submitted it to the college. It took over a year for it to be approved, but it finally did. Originally, it was a pilot course, so just to see if there was student interest and so forth. And the realization was that the course was very popular with positive student evaluations. So at one point, I had three sections. Now, the last couple of years, I've been teaching two sections of the course. The course content, as you know, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which we cover the entire thing, where we try to in a matter of 15 weeks, has gotten a lot of positive feedback. The majority of the students love it, as I've stated. There have been students who have found the content of the course problematic in some cases, and so I've had allegations of what people have accused me of, which is biased in some cases. And so an example of some of these allegations of bias is a student going down to the administration and demanding a meeting for why I say occupied territories instead of what some people want to hear as disputed territories. Of course, evidence will tell you that the territories are occupied. These are things that are not up for debate, but they want to take a particular stand. I've also had students that have had problems with the term ethnic cleansing. Ethnic cleansing in reference to what happened after the partition plan in November of 1947, throughout 1948, where 750,000 people were removed from their homes, their villages were destroyed, and then when they, of course, tried to return, they were not allowed to. And so then I point to Resolution 194, which calls for their return. And so some of these factual aspects of the conflict, which have not been presented in the mainstream discourse here in the United States, is coming out at academic institutions. It's coming out as activists are starting to pay attention to this issue, and a lot of people have issue with that. Now, as far as my case is concerned, in October of 2013, I showed the Academy Award nominated film Five Broken Cameras in my classroom. After that, a student went to administration or emailed administration and said that I was biased for showing the film Five Broken Cameras. I was called into the chair's office. The chair's name is Steve Corey, and I was counseled to be balanced when I present this information. Now, a few days later, After I had been contracted to teach the course, and after the contract was accepted on both of our parts, and after registration began, in fact, a couple of hours after registration began, the class was eliminated. It was cut from the platform, which is called OASIS, which gives students the opportunity to register. Now, we filed what are called grievances. We have a union at Columbia College which filed a grievance on my behalf. The first grievance was rejected. The second grievance was also rejected by the interim provost, Luis Love. Now, there is a history of anti-Palestinian bias as far as this particular provost is concerned, Louise Love. A few years ago, she was at another university called Roosevelt, which is just a few blocks away from where Columbia is, and she was an official there and had authority over a chair at Roosevelt who had fired a professor that allowed students the opportunity to learn more about Zionism and to learn more about the Palestinian issue. This chair had a problem with this professor going as far as to say that Palestinians, something to the likes of Palestinians, do not have a side. She called them animals. And Louise Love defended her position, calling her position, quote, passionate. Louise Love became the provost of the university or the college that I teach for. And she sat across from me asking me questions about the elimination of my class. I don't know, if people can sort of understand the magnitude of how absurd this is, but one can picture if this provost supported someone who said that about African Americans or said that about someone who is Jewish, her career would have been ended. Why is the Palestinian issue or talking about Palestinians in such a matter the exception to the rule, where this person was given a provost position at Columbia College? She should not be within 1,000 feet of an academic institution, let alone listen to my grievance as far as my course being cut in the manner that it was.
Well, and what a ironic situation where somebody showing such blatant bias is in a position to basically curtail your course, which from all I can see does not seem to be biased at all. Now, not all of our listeners may be familiar with the film Five Broken Cameras. Can you tell us a little bit about the film?
Well, sure. Five Broken Cameras is an Academy Award nominated film for Best Documentary. It's shot over a few years by a person who originally was not planning on making films, but was simply shooting his son as he got older. And what as Bnei began to be an integral and important part of Palestinian nonviolent resistance to the occupation, Ahmad Burnett is the director's name, began to chronicle this, and he collaborated with Guy Davidi, who is an Israeli director, to put this film together and show it to the public. So it's a film about nonviolent resistance in this village, which has garnered international attention for its activism even prior to the creation of the film. And so people have a first-hand account and an opportunity to see exactly what happens on the ground as far as the occupation is concerned. What the village has been striving for as far as their activism is concerned, of course, is the overall Palestinian issue. But specifically, it is it goes on nonviolent protests, along with Israelis and other international activists, in protest of the occupation wall or the apartheid wall that slashes their village and takes much of their land in order for there to be land to build illegal Israeli settlements. And so this is a film that I have showed to my class. It has garnered an extremely powerful response from students because it brings a lot of the information and a lot of the history and a lot of the resolutions and the lectures and the discussion, and it brings it to life. And it is part of the core objectives of the class, which is to humanize and to make the issue human, because after all, it affects human beings. And so it has been a powerful teaching tool for me to show this film. Now, there are students that consider the showing of the film or the language that I use in the class or the discussion that I open in the class, they consider that biased. And the request for balance to this issue is a response to that. And the cutting of the course is a response to a few students who are uncomfortable with information that they are receiving.
And, you know, I about a year ago, I saw that film on our local PBS outlet. I thought it was a very moving film because, you know, there's such misery in the West Bank. But the as far as I'm aware, I mean, PBS has been able to air it without the sky falling. So it's strange that an academic institution would have a problem with a professor showing this film to a class.
Well, I think that the college's approach is that the issue here is, and Columbia College, of course, released a statement in where they said that they or Louise Love did, where she said that she was supportive of showing the film and so forth, and that she likes the film or something to the likes. You can read her statement online. The issue here is the fact that a professor showed the film Five Broken Cameras, and the response of a student that I was biased for showing it, and then what transpired after that allegation of bias. So that is something that needs to be kept in mind as far as this particular issue, is that the college is uncomfortable with the fact that students say I am biased for showing Five Broken Cameras, or that I am biased for past as a result of past allegations. Now, there have been past allegations, but people are again focusing on the issues of calling the territory occupied instead of disputed, or saying that I should not use the term ethnic cleansing to describe what transpired in 1947 through 1948. Which was the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people, and Israeli authors like Ilan Pappe have books entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. So as a professor and as someone who brings in brings in information that is written and by individuals who are considered scholars and well known in their fields, as a professor I have the academic freedom to do so. And what they are telling us here by the cancellation of the class and by the attempt to muzzle is that the Palestine question is an exception to the rule of academic freedom. And that is why we grieve the situation, and that's why we're going to the public right now to tell them and to notify them of of Columbia's attempt at muzzling this particular class.
And I understand that I think it's tomorrow evening there's a forum on academic freedom.
Yes, I'll be speaking there. It's at Columbia College, and I'll be speaking there tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Alia Bunyerna is going to be speaking as well, and we have a member of the AAUP coming in to talk as well about academic freedom. For more information on that, you can go to a petition at change.org which is entitled Respect Academic Freedom, and please sign the petition. There are links there that can take you to the March 20th public forum in Chicago. It's open to anyone who would like to come. Also, we ask that people call into the college and to demand an explanation for the violation of academic freedom.
Good. And you know, it's not just Columbia College. Just looking in the news at Northeastern University, there's a situation where a student group got suspended for basically leafleting in a residence on the Palestinian issue. The students group was Students for Justice in Palestine. So there seems to, in some universities, there seems to be a chill on this. Even in Canada here, University of Windsor, now the university, as far as I know, hasn't followed through on this, but the student council had a referendum and it passed in support of the university joining the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. And a prominent donor of the university went public, attacking the students. So, you know, it's a worrisome trend if it continues. Academic freedom should be sacrosanct. It's tough enough to talk about the Palestinian Israeli issue outside of academia. Academia should be this island of open debate.
Well, absolutely, and I absolutely agree with you. And you make an excellent connection with some of the different places. I am in touch with Northeastern in Boston, and we both, of course, support one another. The situation in Boston is the violation of the right to speak out is not just, of course, specific to me. You have it in Boston. You also have it at Barnard. And you gave a good example at Barnard. They put some type of map of Palestine outside of their place of gathering, and they were called on to remove it because people apparently felt that it felt uncomfortable about it. Well, this discomfort again seems to sort of come out, and people are acquiescing to this discomfort and trying to alleviate it. But it is a violation of people's rights to speak freely as they should. And so all these things that are happening around the country and even in Canada are not coincidences that they are happening at the same time. As the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement continues to move forward, and as students are engaging on this issue and bringing it to light and discussing it, and as professors are beginning to say, hey, let's teach this issue in its reality and not make any type of attempt to quote, balance the asymmetrical power imbalance that exists between people that are occupied and their occupiers, who have all the mechanisms and all the resources of a state and unfortunately a superpower, the United States, which has been very supportive of the state of Israel and their policies in many cases. But the people who are attempting to muzzle are on they're in a fighting retreat at this point. BDS is growing. There are people who are coming on board, and that is frightening to those people. And so what they are trying to do right now is go after these organizations and go after professors who are bringing these issues to light and normalizing the discussion that Israel is a country that has committed acts of occupied people. That is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict there, and hopefully, after the recognition of that, that is when we can begin to discuss solutions to the conflict that can be, that will be advantageous to both Israelis and Palestinians, so that they can both live on this land free and in dignity. But the idea of continuing support for policies for a state that perpetuates illegal crimes that you can go to at the United Nations, or you can read about Richard Goldstone's the Goldstone Report is excellent on the atrocities that the Israelis committed in Gaza. And during Operation Cast Lead, they were charged with war crimes at the United Nations. And so these are issues that are discussed. These are not issues of opinion. These are facts that we bring to the table and that we discuss. And the attempt to do that is a clear violation of academic freedom. And again, Palestine and the discourse on Palestine is not the exception to the rule of academic freedom.
Okay, well, thanks very much for telling us about what's going on at Columbia College and the broader issue on Israeli-Palestinian relations. Just say for our listeners who want to support the cause of academic freedom, and you cited this already, change.org, there's a petition, and I think that site also has some background material on the site if you want to find out more. So I encourage listeners concerned about academic freedom, go to change.org and under Respect Academic Freedom, it'll direct you right to the petition. So thank you very, very much, Ayman, and good luck with your forum tonight.
Well, thank you so much. The forum is tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay, sorry about that. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. And that was Professor Ayman Shahadi. He's a professor at Columbia College in Chicago, and his part of his course was canceled because of a few complaints of bias for showing an acclaimed film on the Palestinian situation.